The Tale of Two Trees from Janet Pope.
When I was growing up in Central Florida, and we lived on a lake, we had this tree in the backyard, a cypress tree, lived right at the water's edge. And so we would go down there and just sit, and it was so peaceful watching the waves splash up against the tree. Now, this tree, although it was under the scorching Florida sun, it was never parched because the water was its life source.
Yeah.
Now, in the front yard, we had one of those massive oak trees that was covered that thick Spanish moss that they have in Florida. And this tree, every year it lost branches that just died and fell off because the moss was taking over. And so for me, these are two vivid pictures of a contrasting lives, one that's thriving and one that's withering.
Which tree are you, thriving or withering? We'll talk about how to be the one that's thriving today on Revive Our Hearts Weekend. Welcome to Revive Our Hearts Weekend. I'm Dana Gresh. Everywhere I go, I'm hearing about making healthy lifestyle changes these days. People want to thrive. In fact, right now I'm taking part in a wellness challenge, and I might add pretty much failing. But seriously, it's everywhere. From keto to the Mediterranean diet, from setting reading goals to learning new organizational skills to clear the mind. It's in my face when I open Facebook or Instagram. And how does Amazon know what health goals I've been talking about to my friends? Today, I want to talk about lifestyle changes. What is the most important change you could make so that you thrive? Well, if you grew up in church, you probably memorized scripture verses in Sunday school or vacation Bible school. Remember John 3:16? Say it with me right now. Here we go. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Well, there you go. You did it. You remember. Well done. So let me ask, have you continued to make memorizing God's word a regular part of your Christian walk? I hope so. Because when you meditate on God's word, you're like the tree that's thriving. When your mind and heart delight in his word, then your actions will be God-centered and divinely prosperous, and you won't wither. Now, let's put our two thoughts together. Lifestyle change and memorizing scripture. Why isn't that an Insta post? I want the idea of making scripture memorization a regular part of your life, like exercise, eating well, and caring for your skin. Today, we'll hear from a few ladies that will share how the busiest women can, in fact, memorize scripture. I'll introduce you to a woman who's memorized over 14 books of the Bible. Full stop, friend. 14 books of the Bible. That's more than 120 chapters. Wow. And she started by memorizing every single word in Ephesians. Well, I should let her tell the story. Here again is Janet Pope with Nancy DeMoss Wahlgemuth.
So it took me months and months, probably about 6 months, but I worked on it every single minute of every day and night. And I found that even though I had no extra time slots in my day, that I could memorize while I was doing other things. And so I included scripture memory in my morning routine, getting in the shower, blow drying my hair, putting on makeup and clothes. Those were things where my hands were busy, but my mind was free.
Yeah.
And so I was able to memorize scripture while I was doing these things. Household chores, vacuuming, folding laundry, emptying the dishwasher, making school lunches, making coffee, things like that, that I could memorize at the same time. And so not only was I getting to know God's word, but I was redeeming the time. Just a minute here and a minute there. So that's really where I began.
And when you started out, did you think, I don't know if I can do this? Did it seem really daunting at the beginning?
It did, but I thought, okay, it is possible, and really, I'm only going to do one verse at a time. So I think I was just compelled and driven at that time, and I felt that sense of shame that I really had not given God's word the time that it needed. The more I got into it, the more I thought, okay, well, I can do another verse, I can do another one, I can do another one.
Eat an elephant one bite at a time, right?
Right, so...
So how did you go about doing this? Did anybody teach you how or give you some pointers?
No, I didn't really have a method, but I thought, well, I'll make my own method. And so what I came up with, and of course, I always suggest that people take what I've done and just adapt it to what your life is. But I got those 3x5 cards that are connected with a spiral. Not the ones that are scattered everywhere around your house, but they're all connected.
Right.
And so I wrote out like the first chapter and then...
By hand.
Yeah, by hand. And just wrote it out and then just started one verse at a time. Now, my method became memorizing one verse every day. Now, I know that sounds like overwhelming, like how could you do a verse a day? But by doing a verse a day, it forces you to come back like 25 times during the day. Because if you just did one verse a week, that doesn't force you to meditate on God's word throughout the day. So by pushing myself to do a verse a day, I had to think about it in the morning when I was doing my chores, and then at lunchtime, and then in the afternoon, and then when I was cooking dinner, and then at nighttime. And this little 3x5 spiral sits right up on my counter. So I just take it everywhere with me, including ironing and vacuuming. And I just put it in my car with me everywhere I went. And so that became my method.
Were you saying the verse out loud?
Saying out loud. And of course, my kids were like, okay, mom's reciting scripture. But, you know, they didn't care. So, in fact, it really kind of became one of those things like, well, that's what mom does. She memorizes the Bible. So,
well, that's probably a way you were getting scripture into them, too.
Oh, it was huge. Without requiring them
right. To
learn scripture. I just was speaking
they were learning it
throughout the day. So.
So you're taking this, starting with Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1.
And then the next day did verse 2, and the next day verse 3. And then after I finished the chapter, most chapters, I don't know why, but they're 20 or 21 verses. So then when I'd finish that, then I'd just review for about a week or 10 days till I really felt like I had it solidified, then go on to the next chapter. And then when I finished Ephesians, I was like, whoa, I've done this. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I think it's a better way to start with something really, really small. For example, I always say, start with Psalm 1. It's 6 verses. And it's so motivational because it talks about the man who is blessed because he's planted by streams of water. He's meditating on God's word day and night. And what's so great is that Psalm 1 only takes 1 minute to review. So when you're very first memorizing scripture, you haven't found a 5-minute block during your day, but you're thinking, okay, but I've got one. And so you find several 1-minute pockets throughout your day when you're doing something, when your hands are busy and your mind is free. So I always say start with Psalm 1. And if you already have Psalm 1, then do like another short psalm, like Psalm 121.
Yes. Can you say Psalm 1 for us?
Yes. Let's see. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
6 verses.
6 verses.
1 minute.
Less than 1 minute. And you just find those little pockets throughout your day when you're doing something else, when you're driving, when you're waiting at the orthodontist. Think about how many times we have waiting. We're waiting at the drive-thru at the bank. We're waiting at the drive-thru at McDonald's. We're waiting at soccer practice. We're waiting. And we have those little 1 minute periods of time where we can work on scripture memory at the same time we're doing something else. Most of us do our hair the same way every single day. So do you really have to be thinking? Just work on scripture memory at the same time. You're putting on your makeup the same way every day. You're making toast, you're making coffee. Incorporate it with something else you're already doing.
What a good challenge. You know, Janet says the goal in memorizing is not just to memorize more and more verses, but to know Jesus better. And you can't know him without spending time with him, without reading his words and meditating on them and memorizing them. Do you remember the story of the 2 trees we heard at the beginning of our time together? Which will you be? The thriving tree or the withering tree? Spending time in his word, soaking in his promises, that is what's going to make you thrive. You can learn more from Janet Pope and how to memorize scripture. She's the author of His Word in My Heart, Memorizing Scripture for a Closer Walk with God. And we have that in our resource center at reviveourhearts.com. You know, Janet actually claims to have a poor memory. I know a lot of people who use that excuse not to memorize, and I've got to be honest with you. I struggle with memorizing. I love spending time with God, reading His Word, talking to Him. But memorizing is difficult, even with 3x5 cards. So don't lose heart if that's true for you. I hope we will walk away from our time together today challenged. Because remember, lifestyle change. The grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord stands forever. The word of the Lord stands forever. The word of the Lord. Word of the Lord. The word of the Lord stands forever. The word of the Lord stands forever. The word of the Lord. Word of the Lord. For all men are like grass. And all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord stands forever. The word of the Lord stands forever. The word of the Lord, word of the Lord. You're listening to Revive Our Hearts Weekend. I'm Dana Gresh. Today we're chatting about hiding God's word in our hearts. Some people find it helpful to memorize scripture with someone else. And that's true for Veronica Copenhaver as well. Veronica's sister Jenna came to live with her for 3 months, and during that time, these sisters enjoyed spurring each other on to make healthy choices.
We had water drinking challenges, and we have workout challenges, and we have a good competitive edge together.
Then Veronica was listening to Revive Our Hearts. Nancy DeMoss Wagemuth challenged listeners to memorize the book of Philippians. Veronica asked Jenna to join the challenge.
So I said, let's do Philippians. Nancy said Philippians, so we'll just go with that. And she said, great. So we started the next day, and there was no hesitation, and we have continued to stay with each other. And we'll text and say, hey, I need another day on today's verse. And okay, that's fine, or I didn't get it. Can you wait for me? And it's good accountability to keep us on track, because there's times I'm ready to quit. You get to a part where you go, I'm just not getting it. It's not sticking. And it's so nice because God's so good. If she's getting it, I'm not. And when I'm getting it, she's not. So we can keep each other going. No, you can't quit. Come on. Here's what I did. And she lives in Tennessee and I live in Alaska. And it's over texting and email and phone calls that we figure it out. And we'll take times and go, okay, are you done? She's like, yes, let's just take a little break, review for a season, make sure we have it in there. Because I don't want to lose it, because we did both do 1 Peter together. And then we didn't practice very well, and we both lost 1 Peter.
And I've had that happen. But I would say even then, the process of meditating on it, memorizing it, while you're doing that, God's doing a good work in your heart. So all the much better if you can keep it. I've memorized a lot of scripture. I haven't retained most of it. If I could go back and do my life again, reviewing scripture memory is one thing I would make a bigger deal out of. And it sounds like you've really done that. But, you know, as I hear you talk about you and your sister Jenna and the accountability, it reminds me of that verse in Hebrews that says that we're to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, that we need each other all the more as we see the day approaching, because the enemy tends to get us sidetracked, distracted, giving up, throwing in the towel, forgetting what's really important. But if you have somebody that you're doing it with, it may be your mate, it may be a child, it may be a friend, a sister, that you do, you hold each other up, you keep each other going in the race. And just another illustration, how much we need each other. Might be a walking partner, but you'll do more together. Two are better than one. They have a good reward for their labor. Ecclesiastes tells us that. And so you and your sister are practicing that. And there may be other areas of your life where it's somebody else who provides that for you. But would you have thought that you could have done this?
No. I mean, I tell people, I teach Bible studies at our church, and I tell women all the time, my challenge is memorize. I said, go for a verse, go for a paragraph. If you think you can do that, go for a chapter. I said, it's addicting. At our women's retreat, I've done a workshop on memorization, and it's all because of Janet Pope's book and her, When Your Hands Are Busy But Your Mind Is Free. I've just taken that and run with it, and that's, with having 3 kids and I homeschool, how I find the time. It's washing dishes, folding clothes, getting ready in the morning. It's grown out of my morning routine. It has to incorporate more now, because to go through that many books takes a bit of time.
Yeah, Janet has been a guest on Revive Our Hearts, and she challenged our listeners to memorize whole books of the Bible. And we've offered her book, His Word in My Heart. In fact, it's available in our resource center. And so if you go to reviveourhearts.com, you can get a copy of that. It sounds like it's not as complicated mm-hmm. or daunting mm-hmm. as you might think, but it is little by little, one day at a time, one verse at a time, and filling in those cracks and crevices mm-hmm. of our lives that otherwise become like wasted time or lost time. Mm-hmm. What kind of impact do you see the scripture making in your life as you're memorizing it?
It changes my attitude. When my youngest was born, I had high blood pressure and we were trying to figure out what was going on. And I, in the middle of the night when I'm up nursing, would go into deep depression and convince myself I was going to die the next morning. And, you know, you're just, middle of the night, your thoughts go crazy. And I sat there one night and I could feel myself sinking into that depression. I thought, I'm not doing this. And it's dark and everyone's asleep. And I thought, okay, I'll just practice Philippians. And I didn't even get through chapter one. And I felt lighter, felt joyful again. I was like, no, I have no clue that I'm dying. And here I am 6 years later, totally fine. It was just hormones and all that. Mm-hmm. So it's helped that. I also have told the story of my husband left me one time to take the kids out when I had a newborn and left the kitchen kind of messy. And he was leaving so with the kids so I could clean the house, but he made a huge mess before he left.
And you were kind of
I was a little unhappy. Frustrated. The fish were apparently biting at that moment and breakfast dishes just needed to be left. And I sat there and went through all my options of I can be mad, I can yell at him when he comes home, I can leave the dishes for him to clean up. And I finally thought, I'll just clean up the kitchen, not going to be happy about it, but I'll practice Philippians while I'm doing it. And I got to verse 23 of Philippians chapter 1. I was like, oh, I'm fine. Who cares? He's out taking the kids. I needed the break. And so there's times where I've struggled with anger and frustration, and it's like, oh, I'll do my verses. I don't want to. And it gets me out of my bad attitude.
Isn't it exciting what God will do when we hide his words in our hearts? I don't know about you, but I'm encouraged to hear Veronica and Jenna's story. They were there for each other and supported each other with learning God's word. And as I mentioned before, that can be a key component to this lifestyle change, accountability. So how about grabbing a friend for a walk? Start memorizing together. Hey, remember our conversation about friendship from last week? Memorizing God's word with someone can be the perfect way to build a friendship or to forge a stronger one. I've even heard of two women who would meet for 5 minutes before the Sunday service at church just to recite their verses quickly. That's all you need. You get a better friendship and you get Jesus deeper into your heart. What more could you ask for? Our own Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth has a passion for learning God's word. In fact, I'm remembering a time when she was turning 50 and decided to set a special goal, to memorize the book of Revelation. Listen, this woman models what she teaches, and she loves the word of God dearly. Nancy says there's a benefit to memorizing and knowing God's word well.
Matthew chapter 7. The wise man builds his life on the solid, firm foundation of not just the words of Christ, but obedience to the words of Christ. Jesus said, if any man hears my word and does them, he's like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And when the storms came, which they will, count on it. When the storms came, they beat up against that house. Nothing could destroy it because it was built on a foundation of obedience to Christ's word. The foundation was already there. You can't build the foundation after the storms start. You build it now. We're building it now for the future. And Jesus said, the foolish man goes through his life. He may hear the words of God, but he's not obeying them. He's not living out the words of Christ. And when the storms come, as they will, he will find that his house has been built on a flimsy foundation, and it will not stand. Great will be the fall of that house. And I've watched women over and over again deal with catastrophes and disasters and crises in their lives and fall apart, which, humanly speaking, I don't blame them for doing. I understand their hard circumstances. But if they fall apart, and I'm not just talking about that day, but over a period of time, chances are it's because they did not have the foundation that they needed to enable them to walk through that storm. And what is the foundation? It's consistently coming to know Christ through his word, knowing God
And that's how he's revealed himself. We don't have any other way to know God. There's no mystical, magical, secret way to know God. He's given us his word. It's right there. It's a gift. It's a treasure. But we have to seek for it, take time for it. Taking time for God's word means there are other things we don't have time for. There are a lot of books that I'd love to read that I don't have time to read. There are a lot of TV programs I would probably enjoy entertaining myself with that I don't have time to watch. And some of them, not because there's anything wrong with them. If I want a foundation for my life of a relationship with God, which I want more than anything else, then that means I have to make some choices. I was talking with a couple yesterday who were we were talking about the challenge of getting up in the morning to meet with the Lord. And we were saying to each other, you know, the thing that makes mornings the hardest is what we did the night before. And so often we're frittering away those evening hours with non-essentials, things that don't matter. And boy, the hours just get, where do they go? And it's midnight, 1 o'clock, where, I don't know, some of you don't ever see that time of night, but I do often. And then morning just seems like impossible. Well, how much better if I could be careful with what I'm doing with my time in the evenings, not needlessly expending time on things that don't have any significance for eternity. You need God's grace. I need God's grace to live this day, whatever your season of life, whatever the demands, whatever the hardships, the struggles, the pressures, the burdens, we need God's grace. And his grace is sufficient. The problem is we're not drawing on it. We've got this huge resource available. And yet with our puny, measly resources, we're trying to live this life, do it on our own, manage on our own. And we're like these poverty-stricken beggars eking out an existence when God has available for us this incredible treasure store. All his riches in Christ Jesus are available to us, and we're living like paupers, struggling, striving, knocking ourselves out to live this life. And God says, I want to pour all my resources into you, but get into the place where the fountain is. Drink from it.
Thank you, Nancy, for reminding us to drink deeply from the fountain. I sure needed that today. You remember that tree Janet was talking about at the beginning of our time together? Well, there are many passages in the Bible that talk about trees. Here's one of my favorites, Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Friend, I want you to yield fruit. All of us at Revive Our Hearts want you to thrive. We want to help you live a life basking in the sunshine and drinking from the water of life. Did our conversation today prick your conscience? You want to memorize the word, but you don't know where to start? Maybe consider starting with the promises of God. We have a small booklet to help you do just that. The booklet's title is 50 Promises to Live By, and we'd love to send you a copy for your donation of any amount this month to support the ministry of Revive Our Hearts. To make a gift, go to reviveourhearts.com and click the button up at the top of the page. Again, that's reviveourhearts.com. And click the donate button up at the top of the page. Again, that's reviveourhearts.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-569-5959. And be sure to ask for the booklet, 50 Promises to Live By. Again, that number is 1-800-569-5959. Next Sunday is Father's Day, and as we celebrate dads, Mary Cassian will help us understand how we can embrace God as a father, even if you've had a difficult relationship with yours. Celebrate dads with us on the next Revive Our Hearts weekend. Thanks for listening today, and thanks to our production team. Phil Krause, our recording engineer, enjoys putting verses to music to help his kids and him memorize. Rebecca Krause, his daughter, is also one of our editors and once memorized Psalm 119 for $100. Mastering engineer Justin Converse, producer Michelle Hill, and audio technician Dylan Weibel, well, I'm going to have to check up on their memorization. A little bit of accountability might be in order. You've been listening to Revive Our Hearts Weekend. I'm Dana Gresh. Revive Our Hearts Weekend is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.
Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh,